This is Thrace Relations, a podcast about Spartacus, the television series on Starz Channel. Hello, I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Welcome back to Thrace Relations. We're doing War of the Damned, Episode 9, titled The Dead and the Dying. Quite possibly the best episode of the whole series. Definitely this season. Up for debate, possibly, maybe. Let's get into it.
You think it's better than Victory? And we haven't gotten there yet.
I think it's better than Victory.
You haven't watched Victory in a while.
Is Victory the final episode?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that it's tied at least for Kill 'Em All. Okay. This episode, to me, was just super, super awesome.
I don't know if I could say that. It wasn't like on my feet great. It was just kind of like expected. It's the farewell. It's kind of like to give you the nugget of happiness before they crush your soul in the last one. Mm-hmm. So I can't say
That's why I like it.
I know.
You know, it's the last.
But I don't, there's several episodes I think that would be better than this one for me.
Yeah, I still like the last episode of Vengeance a lot. Wrath of the Gods.
Yeah.
When Asher gets killed.
That was a good episode.
Yes. But I like this one, too, just because of... I feel like there's a lot of service done for us, the viewers, in it. And there's some interesting things we'll talk about when we get to it. But I like Victory better, for sure. So
okay, that's fine.
Definitely just top my five. Definitely top five, but there's just been... It's been better episodes for me.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and get into the recap. It opens with Roman's preparing a meal of rabbit.
It was a big-ass rabbit.
Yeah, it was. I'm
just saying, I thought it was a small pig or something.
Like a dog.
Big old jackrabbit.
Jackalope.
and that one man's complaining about how there's only one giant hare all of them to eat. And he's saying it very loudly. But turns out they will not get to eat that tonight or ever again. Spartacus is...
We knew something was going to happen because he's like, his friend's all like, oh, don't be so loud. He's like, pussy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, being a pussy. Now we know what happens immediately.
Well, he says, show your torch or bring your torch forward. And then the torch just flies out of the darkness into his face.
And that was Saxa because she shot that from a bow and arrow. Because later on, complaining that she had to do that because she'd rather, you know, be close to the blood. So
she's so hot.
She's awesome. And Spartacus and company jump these guys and take them out. And later on, they're going to use some of their clothing. But Nasir announces that a rioter approaches. This is when they're back at camp. And it is Navia. So you knew.
Carrying the head of Crixus.
No, I thought Navia was gone and dead. Or they're going to torture. So I was pretty shocked.
Did you see her holding the head when she pulled
it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty graphic. You see,
because like an idiot, all I could think of was a guy that thing would just reek, stink. It'd be all kinds of flies on it, and maybe they dipped it in wax, you know, sealed it in.
I don't think she cared.
No. I don't know if I'd want the head of my wife.
No.
Well, it depends maybe on the situation. If I saw her get killed, you know, you're grief stricken and in shock, so you probably are going to hold on to it.
I think that's what's going on there. Mm-hmm.
Well, that head was sent with her with purpose to send Spartacus a message.
And she wasn't just going to I'm going to just toss it you know.
Toss it in a basket.
Or even bury it. That was probably too hard for her, you know. I mean,
it lets Crixus tell on people one last time from the afterlife.
That's true.
You know, because he's there.
That's probably a long ride, too, so.
Yeah.
She talked to it and stuff.
She probably was in her grief, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this next scene with Navia, I find it very hard to watch. It was easier this time around, but the last couple times I watched it, I was sobbing. But she's, like we said already, she's holding his head. And when she tells Spartacus and Gannicus what happened, it only twists the knife even more for herself and the viewer, I think, and for Gannicus and Spartacus, too. Boy of scant years, pierced back with spear, she says. And then Nasir asks of Agron, And that makes it even worse too. Makes it so sad.
Did she tell him that he killed Aggron too, or
he
wounded
just,
him?
He just came in and said, "What of Aggron?" And just, she just looked at him and shook her head. And
he asked if he shared the same fate as Crixus.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He could, the part where Gannicus is saying, "Did he die as he always wished in glorious battle?" Mm-hmm. And then she says, "Well, yes and no. It was in battle, but it wasn't very glorious." And you just see that look of disappointment on Gannicus' face, mm-hmm. because that's a fellow champion.
Yeah,
you know, part of the champion circle and
winners.
Yep, the winners. You don't want to go out like that when you're a champion.
Mm-hmm.
So Navia says she only exists as a message to Spartacus. Spartacus wants to stay on path and face Pompey instead of giving in to the vengeance toward Crassus. Gannicus says they can not afford to be caught between two armies. Spartacus says no, they cannot.
And a plan is hatched. We don't know what yet.
So next scene, Crassus and Tiberius discuss how their efforts in retrieving info from Crixus' men are failing. Crassus says it is of no concern now. He wants to break camp and quicken pace against Spartacus. Caesar is also present. Tiberius drops news regarding the whore Canthara. And now, do you guys remember why her name is significant?
She was the one who was going to provide evidence that Tiberius had raped Corre.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
And it's obvious that Tiberius is the one who killed her, gutting her like a fish from cunt to throat, I think they said.
Womanhood to...
Yeah, that was pretty gruesome. That's just...
Well, he's a little shit.
Yeah.
Julius Caesar is hearing this news for the first time. Tiberius and Caesar exchange veiled threats. It is announced that Pompey has dispatched messengers. So, did you know something was up?
No idea. No fucking clue. I did a little bit because, I mean... There's a little hint because of the way Caesar was acting, giving him all the credit, but I didn't think it was a trap.
The messenger was sweating heavily.
I thought that he might have known Pompey and that Pompey would have just bitch slapped him around and made him like a little kid. I didn't think it was Spartacus he was sending him into. I thought Pompey was just a fucking brute and he was going to take advantage of him.
They do a really good job of kind of like diverting your attention away from the fact that this could be a setup for a trap, because Crassus, Caesar, and Tiberius are all bought into it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they kind of give you a tell for the audience to have one person be skeptical of the fact that it's even legit in the first place, but they don't.
Caesar
in the background, like he realizes it and he gets this smirk on his face, so he hatches a plan.
But how did he know?
Well, first of all, he was with them in Sinuessa.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was sweating and he was really nervous. He was kind of acting out of sorts, probably according to normal Roman
protocol.
Yeah. I think just from him being removed from the situation a little bit, he was able to observe a little bit more clear-headedly. I don't know.
I wonder how they picked a messenger.
Yeah, like who looks
volunteered.
The most Roman and who can talk like a Roman?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Everybody just takes one step back and there's just one goon standing there like, fuck.
Yeah. I got to go before the Imperator.
And what happened to him after? I mean, did he just like go?
They probably sent him away
and
after.
Then he hauled ass
Caesar
snuck
says,
out
give
in the way.
Go give them food and drink, and then you see him again later when Tiberius arrives. Hmm. So he comes out of the tent. We'll get to that. But yeah, he makes it out. So, and this is the first time Tiberius is in agreement with Caesar, which is pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been a total, sign right there. Something's not quite going right.
Yeah,
I just thought it was Pompey. I thought Pompey was just a jerk. He's going to punk him out, but I was wrong again.
So, the next scene after this, I don't have in my notes because we just watched the extended version. When I prepared this, there wasn't it. It wasn't the extended version I was watching. So the scene between Tiberius, or not Tiberius, excuse me, Castus and Nasir, that wasn't in the version I watched where they... So Nasir basically admits that he did have a thing for Castus, because that, up until now, I always wondered, did he or did he not? Because he never...
Lusting.
But he said, Aggron wouldn't have left if he hadn't seen my eye fall upon you, the way it did, basically. So now we go to the next scene where Corre is now cleansing herself. She's also got her hands in the basin, like we've seen Spartacus before, and Crassus, and she's thinking of Crassus. I think her conscience is troubled regarding him. And Navia approaches Corre and talks to her about Crassus. Navia wants to know why Corre did not kill Crassus. Did you worry that Navia was going to kill a Roman?
I didn't worry. I thought she was going to, gutter real quick. Just go to sleep. Go to sleep.
As we see, Corey definitely has a role to play in this episode. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, you don't know that at the time, but it, yeah, I worried. The first time I saw it, I worried about her. I was like, oh, great. Here comes, you know, crazy again. And she's crazy Navia.
She's been known to just snap.
She's killed people for less. That's for mm-hmm. sure. You know.
It's a good scene, though. I think Cynthia did a really good job acting in that scene. Tiberius arrives to meet Pompey. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about this scene at all. I was just going to start talking about Spartacus pulling Tiberius off his horse, but we can.
The scene is awesome because he comes in and he thinks he's going to have this. Tiberius thinks he's going to have this big showdown with this guy and be like, I'm standing in place of my dad and I'm going to be the iron fisted ruler and not give any ground. And then Spartacus turns around. You can see the look on his face like he just shit his pants. He's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh,
well, right
crap.
When he gets off his horse, he's like, get Pompey. Tell him I'm here. Oh, you know, braggart style. It's just funny.
Yeah, but he got nervous before he walked in there because he started looking around. And I think he was just like, something's not right, but I can't put my finger on it type.
None of these people are giving me looks of respect or welcome, you know, even though I rank above them in the general military. So that was great when he runs out to his horse and jumps on it. It was a pretty smooth motion of him jumping on the horse. But
oh, yeah.
He wasn't very graceful getting jerked off.
And he's a little guy, so that's quite a jump, too. Yeah, horses aren't easy to hop onto like that.
Yeah, I just liked how Spartacus swung him around even. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, there's no getting up from that.
And he didn't even, like, Spartacus didn't even look like he was in a hurry. He saw him run, and he was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to go chase him real quick.
That's what you get for wearing a cape, douche.
Yeah.
Then he grabbed him by the cape and just sling him on the ground.
Spartacus plans to use Tiberius and his men to give honor to the dead, not long before dispatching them to their afterlife. What could he mean, I wonder? Julius Caesar talks to his remaining whore. She seeks vengeance like Caesar. They have joint vengeance sex. It's really...
the only sex scene in this episode.
Yes.
I thought we were going to get another one at the end, but thank goodness it didn't happen.
Yeah, because it would have been
another long, drawn-out
cry fest. It probably would have. Well, oh, you're talking about
Crassus and Corey.
Well, we could have had. Well, Aggron was in kind of bad shape. So.
Yeah, I don't think that would have. Yeah. No. No.
I mean, Nasir could have came busted out with an old-fashioned or something. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
Just to get him to go to sleep that night.
She could have done the Indiana Jones, Raised Lost Ark. Does it hurt here?
Yeah.
Anyway, so meanwhile, Tiberius and his men are greeted by the rebels. Spartacus has to keep the rebels from killing the Romans.
Understandably so. I mean,
he's got them for a higher
Everybody's
price.
Got some damn rocks, though. That's all right.
Spartacus tells Navia of Tiberius's capture. He also talks of how they can pay final tribute to Crixus.
This was a good scene here. I liked it a lot.
But him talking to Navia?
Yeah.
This was Navia's redemption to me right here. Because she basically says, you know, I pushed Crixus to turn against you, you know, and you guys had been pretty much brothers ever since. Well, she wasn't going to say the last episode of the first season. But, like, you know, that's what she meant. And he kind of said, look, we don't know what the future holds. We can't change the past. So let's focus on now. Kind of like, don't even.
It was another amazing speech. Yeah. I still want him to coach my football team.
So maybe they'll win every now and then.
Yes, exactly.
So the next thing, they try to trick us into thinking they've already started this gladiator match, because you hear somebody yell Romans, but it's the other rebels that have been captured by Crassus's men. And you think it's Tiberius that's getting splashed with water until Aggron.
That didn't look like water to me. It looked like a bucket.
Or whatever
of piss.
It was.
That was a refuse bucket.
Yeah.
So Crassus and Caesar gloat over Aggron. Crassus condemns him to crucifixion. Caesar does this personally.
And they didn't give him a stand hold.
I think there's variations on that. Somehow he was braced with the arms, which a lot of time was standard because you would just fall. And also, they would a lot of times like pierce your abdominal area, because you would bloat and burst. So they would do that to kind of prevent.
A lot of people would suffocate too. That's why they would give them the foothold, was to hold themselves up because of the way your body slouches.
Yes.
But I guess with this method, they don't need to do it because you're actually hanging, and the nails in the palms is just for pain. You know,
yeah, there's no way that could hold you.
Fuck crucifixion. There's a lot of better ways to die than that.
Yeah, that's one of the least better ways to die. That's right up there with burning to death.
An envoy from Pompey arrives, and they have no idea of
huh?
of Tiberius. Crassus discovers his mistake. Crassus loses control.
I like Caesar's smirk behind him. You know, yeah. Like...
But Caesar would not be a good chess player because this backfired.
You
on
could
him.
Just look at him and tell what he was about to do. Like, you're going to do that, aren't you? No, no.
Uh-uh. I'm going to be the bird. back at your son.
So Crassus believes that Tiberius is alive and may be useful towards bargain. Crassus is now bent on freeing Tiberius. This plan backfired on Caesar. Crassus is going to send Caesar to make the bargain.
Which I didn't think they were going to actually make the bargain. I thought because he was going to put his son in the decimation, it's like, well, he's willing to fucking kill him. I thought it was a major trap. I really did. It was like, ugh. But I was wrong again.
Well, give yourself credit. You've been right about a lot of stuff, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we've like going back and listening to some of these podcasts, it's like you probably don't think about it at the time you're saying it because it doesn't happen until the next episode or two, three episodes down the line. But there's been a couple of times where we've exchanged the looks or more than a couple where it's like, oh, you nailed that one, but we'll just save that until you're like, I think this is going to happen. And then it does. And I don't know if you didn't remember that you said it.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
All right. So Tiberius and his men talk disparaging of their captors. Corey pays him a visit. And
wearing her one pull string dress again. She's comfortable in the camp.
It's standard issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case. They're playing with your expectations here.
Yes.
You know, because they're trying to make it seem like Tiberius is going to offer her a way back into the good graces of his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be like, oh, really? He still loves me? All right, I'll come back tonight so I can free you. But instead, it's like, so I can watch you die.
Yes.
She should have had him, like, bent over with a stick and just gotten revenge on him. Huh? I'll splinter your butt up.
The rebels prepare for honoring Crixus gladiator style, which is a nod to Blood and Sand. I'm getting ready and all that. I like that.
Where'd they get the stadium they were sitting in? That place was badass.
Yeah, it looked like it was a...
like an amphitheater on a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably like of Greek origin.
How awesome would it be to see a concert there? Oh, fucking amazing. I got a great view. I mean, it would have been badass.
Pink Floyd would have played there.
Oh, yeah.
Like they did in the volcano. They're just like, we'll play here too.
It's amazing. I can't do it. I can't do an English accent right now.
It's an awesome way to honor Crixus, and Spartacus did do that, but the difference is they didn't fight; they forced the Romans to fight each other in front of Crixus's funeral pyre, and it's like the only thing of record that Spartacus was reported to doing that would seem brutal. Everything else, he always tried to stay above the line, but who cares?
Know, yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
But the first guy. He follows Tiberius' orders and says, you know, because Tiberius is like, don't fight them.
That's his
don't
little
fight.
Rape friend, too.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the guys
the
who
guy
held
that
down.
Held everybody down.
His rape friend.
Spartacus handled this pretty good because he's like, I'm a Roman. I won't die for your fucking entertainment, which is ironic because it's the Romans who instituted, you know, the gladiatorial games in the first place. So Spartacus is like, all right, and just cuts his throat and then tells the other guys, if you won't fight, you'll die where you stand.
Now, were they just throwing all the bodies off the edge of the cliff?
I think so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like Blood and Sand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See ya. Except they should have kept their armor.
They
might have.
They might have, except for the guy who got kicked off the cliff. Nobody
Gannicus.
Kept any. Yeah.
Yeah, Gannicus kicked the other guy.
This is Gannicus.
So while Spartacus is fighting, we get to hear a snippet of conversation between Gannicus and Sybil. We learn that Gannicus misses the certainty of being a gladiator, but not the shackles and the lash, however. Spartacus takes out both men quite spectacularly.
Awesome fight.
Oh, that was a really, really good fight. That honestly, if you know, when I said at the beginning of this podcast that this is one of my favorite episodes ever, it's this whole long scene, but especially the one
it all
with
hangs on that.
Yeah, when he puts the swords down crossways and he takes that guy like WWF style right across him, and just that, I mean, that just takes the cake. That's got to be one of the top five kill scenes in the whole
series.
Even
the guy he kills after it and he puts the swords from the back of his head to his eyeballs.
Yeah, that might be even more badass.
It would have been perfect if the eyeballs had come out on the ends of the swords. Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Awesome. But possibly the coolest thing about that particular fight is after he gets cut a little bit, he kind of just puts his hand to his mouth and the whole crowd's like, ooh, you know, and he turns his back to those guys, walks away and puts the swords down and then proceeds to beat the living tar out of them with his bare hands.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
That's a...
But you know he's not going to get hurt just in the fact that I remember in the first season he fights those five Romans.
Yeah.
And handles them. You know, it was
before
like,
oh, he had any training from Animaeus, too.
Mm-hmm. I like it that they had him and Gannicus and some other people fight. I thought it was fantastic.
Yep. Gannicus is next. He requests three opponents.
Showboat and blindfolded.
Yeah. Yeah. One arm tied behind my back.
And they, you know, they come after him and he's like on the edge. And I thought that was, you know, metaphorical in a way. He's always living on the edge at Gannicus.
He's like an Aerosmith song.
What would the crowd done if he had accidentally slipped and fallen off? Would it have just been quiet like, oh, fuck.
You know what it would have been, though? It would have been like one of those Luke Skywalker things in the Sarlacc pit in Jedi. He would have fallen and then just
flown.
There would have been like a diving board out there. And he just flipped himself back up. And Saxon would have thrown him a sword and he'd catch it in midair.
Sybil would have been all like, nyar, 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 nyar. Wait, is that a tauntaun sound?
Yeah,
Sybil,
pretty close.
Keeping with the Star Wars metaphor, Sybil's kind of like, she's kind of like Jar Jar Binks in episode two. You get
I'd
in this episode,
Jar Jar.
Yeah, at least he's funny.
Yeah.
But like, you get enough of her to where you don't like her, but you don't have so much to where it's overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's tolerable. She just asks some stupid questions. And
they were stupid, like, oh, you miss it? Bitch, I'm the man.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Do I miss it?
But when he gets up there and starts fighting, she's all, oh, yeah, you are the man.
I'm the only one that's not a slave here.
Hmm? Yeah. I want my freedom.
Yeah.
I had a sword to show everybody, but because of this guy.
Speaking of, Spartacus and Lyta talk of Gannicus' freedom. And
Lyta was like, I should have hooked up with him. Look at this guy.
She's like, at least he's a free man, not a slave.
Mm-hmm. He's taking on three. How many you take on, two?
Spartacus questions her about her own loyalties, and she confirms that she's with the rebels.
She just doesn't like to see all that blood and guts.
Which is normal.
It gives her the vapors, and she just can't.
Oh, Lord.
Those big, sweaty men cutting each other up. All that blood.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Obviously, Gannicus is going to take out those Romans. Next up, a free for all.
Wait, hold on. We have to stop. We can't go on Gannicus. He kicks one of them off the cliff.
Yes, we said that.
Okay. He did that because he was starting to get a little overwhelmed. A pinch.
Yeah. You know, just even up the odds. You know, the three is for show. But then he cuts the head off the last guy and throws it into the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Duh. We got to say
like,
that.
Like the beach ball at concerts. Like everybody's.
Yeah.
Like he cuts the guy's head off just like he did the first time we saw him do a match in Gods of the Arena.
That's true. Yeah.
When Body Otis was telling him, Gannicus, don't kill him. He's all.
That's true. He hasn't had a drink in how many episodes now?
Since he was born again.
God damn it.
Mm. Whenever they were bringing those guys out there and all through the gauntlet of slaves, one of the guys was like giving the thumbs down. I give the thumbs down to Gannicus. Gannicus is not drinking. Thumbs down.
He was funnier.
So, yes, Navia wants her turn. Spartacus and her talk of her change. He tells her not to lower her guard. And at this point, Gannicus learns of a Roman visitor and he tells Spartacus. And it's Caesar. And this is also where Gannicus doesn't listen to orders because. And he's beating him, and then Spartacus tells him to halt, and he hits him one more time.
I think he took the order to halt as an order, don't kill him, you know, not, you know what I mean? That's all that was. Like,
you can take it that way if you want.
Well, yeah, like, don't do it all the way. So the one final hit was just kind of like, okay, now I'm done.
Caesar is making an offer from Crassus for 500 men for Tiberius. Caesar says he is not with Crassus on this request, and...
calls him filth or cancer or some shit, doesn't he?
Disease that sprang
from his
noble
loins. Filthy disease that sprang from his. Then he'd give it up. He would give up Jupiter's throne for disease that sprung from his.
He starts crying.
Noble
raped
loins.
Me.
Yeah. He put it in the no-no spot.
They held me down at rectay.
The no-no spot? Were you taught that or something when you were a kid?
It's obviously the no-no spot.
Yeah.
I've never heard
yeah,
that.
I agree.
Exit only. Except for those folks who want to do it voluntarily. Not judging. Just saying.
What would Yannicka's reaction be? Just like, ooh, whoa. Yeah. Whoa, that's too much. Yeah. We're good.
He would probably laugh. He'd be like, that little one raped you.
He'd be like, we should put them in a cell together.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Oh, there'd be more rape going on, but it wouldn't be Caesar getting raped.
Nasir is fighting a Roman as well, and Nabia prepares to face Tiberius.
Wielding a spear. I don't think I've ever seen him use a spear before like that. It was really well done.
Yeah,
he did
yeah.
when he fought the pirates.
Did he?
Yeah, but you really got to see him because there's like he gets some air at some point, mm-hmm. and he's got the spear coming down, and it looks really cool. Yeah.
He some quick jabs in. I mean, he did a really good job with it.
He's come a long way from being
like Gabby and her little stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's no longer the tater tot. Nah, he's just a tater.
This tater tot's hot. He will burn your mouth.
So it's time to bring out Tiberius. Saxa gamely escorts him to the arena.
Oh, she's got a handful of hair, and she's just like
growling in his face.
Growling right next to his face, like, ah.
And then when she brings him up there, and she raises her arm and his arm, and she yells, "For you," which I thought was awesome because that's what Crixus says to Nevia in Blood and Sand. And Tiberius, the fool, demands his sword returned from Nevia, and he calls her a slave.
I know. I just wanted her to hurry up and kill him the whole time. It was like, kill him before he gets back. Kill him.
She has one of the best comebacks, though. She's like, you claim this sword as your own. The size and the make of it, I thought it was for a woman or a sickly child. You know, and then
when he's like, I'm not sickly.
Goads him into fighting.
My mom says I'm the tallest in the family.
I'm her big, strong man. She's proud of me. You can't talk to me this way.
That's it. I'm raping you, too. That's it. Oh, shit.
So he angers her about Crixus, and she begins hacking into him satisfyingly.
It's a good fight.
Yeah, when she was, like, hacking into his arms. Mm-hmm.
You get almost, like, a couple more hacks, and she could have took that thing off or at least got to the bone.
I really wanted him to beg for his life. I wanted to see him, like, broken and begging.
She was going to make him suffer.
I know.
And Corey was watching. It was like she was living through this vicariously. Mm-hmm. She was getting some satisfaction out of that.
Yeah, I wanted him grovel, but nope.
Nevia is stopped by Spartacus. He tells of Crassus' offer. Nevia is not happy, but Spartacus leaves the decision up to her. In fact, he leaves the decision up to the person who was most wronged by him, the choice. And that choice eventually is made later by Corey, because you could say she was the most wronged by him.
Yeah. Because she got raped twice and Caesar only got raped once. It could have been an even tie on that one.
Well, just the fact, yeah, I guess.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, you just go by that, almost Caesar was almost there, but it's not compared to what Corey went through.
She lost more.
Absolutely.
Because, you know.
Absolutely. I agree.
I would say.
Because, I mean, you could argue the reason why Nevia got to kill Asher is because she was most wronged by Asher, and, like, her whole world was turned upside down. It wasn't the fact that she was raped by him.
Oh, yeah, I agree
all
completely.
All the things that, so Corey is in a similar situation. And Nevia makes the right decision, because it is better that they get those 500 people back. And
she's redeemed. The Nevia from a couple episodes would have just cut his head off.
Yeah.
But she had her moment with Spartacus.
That talk that Spartacus had with her really made, I mean, that's because Nevia before that talk, I think, would have just gutted that kid.
I think so too.
That was a hell of a talk.
I think her and Spartacus have a shared connection that he's lost Sura, she's lost Crixus. Mm-hmm. And they have a way to kind of heal that is by fighting in their honor. And it'd be better. And I think she sat there and thought, I could fight better in Crixus's honor with 500 men than just taking out this little dude.
Absolutely.
You know?
Plus her and Spartacus are Ludus OGs.
Oh, yeah.
They go back.
Now that Aggron's back, I guess just the three.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We got a couple.
There's a couple more than that.
Yeah.
Lugo, right? No, because
no,
Lugo came
German,
on the boat.
And I was wrong about Donar. I thought he came from the Ludus, so I think he's a German.
So that's just the three of them, then.
Yeah, it is just the three of them.
Gannicus. Four.
Whoa.
Oh,
but
yeah, but
he wasn't
from God.
He's still OG, though.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
He's OG.
Mm-hmm. The first champion.
He's the double OG.
Corey certainly looked disappointed, though.
Yeah.
So Tiberius is delivered to Caesar, almost. And when she started running, you were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the look on her face when she did it, afterwards, and she was just...
Well, weight lifted off her shoulders.
Unrepentant.
Oh, yeah. Very unrepentant.
But Caesar's like, you mad cunt, what have you done? And she said, I just balanced the scales.
And I thought about that. She has balanced the scales. Mm-hmm. Like, she balanced the scales against Spartacus and Crassus. Crassus now has lost someone like Spartacus mm-hmm. has. Spartacus lost Sura. And so he's got that little bit of vengeance, too. Yeah, she seriously did balance the scales.
Good job.
Thanks, Corey. Mm-hmm. God damn it. So she offers herself in Tiberius's place.
That's because she's going to kill Crassus in his sleep.
Next scene, Crassus is grieving over his son. Caesar refrains from telling which rebel slaughtered Tiberius. He says a old man with scars upon him.
An old, old man.
Yeah.
But he delivers Corey.
Yeah.
And Crassus confronts Corey with his pain. They embrace, and he tells her she will now address him as Dominus from now on.
Boom.
You see her eyes open up. She's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, duh.
She knew.
Hopefully, it's just
the way she kind of stands there. It's like, I felt like that when I was waiting for my dad to, like, talk to me about something I was in trouble for. Like,
deliver some sort of punishment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. The report card came in.
The rebels receive their 500 men. Agron is among them, alive but wounded. And then we have Crixus' funeral. And they honor all of their dead. It's an awesome scene.
Mm-hmm. Give me chills when they were yelling everybody's names out.
It's cool because it starts with Navius saying Crixus. And then somebody else says, I forgot who the next person
Spartacus
was.
Spartacus says Sura.
Yeah, he says Sura. And then he says Varro and Mira.
Yes.
And then somebody else, you know, says Donar. And then someone else says Raskos. And then
Samuel the Medicus. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I think if somebody said Barca.
Yeah, somebody did say Barca. I didn't catch that the first time.
Yeah.
And what was Duro was Agron's brother's name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So someone says Duro.
He said Agron says it.
Yeah. And then they go back around, and then someone else says Crixus again, and then they all start to chant Crixus, mm-hmm. Crixus. Which is pretty awesome.
Then she lights the pyre. I can't say it.
Pyre.
Pyre. Duh. They like the Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
And then they keep shouting too, right?
Well, what's Crixus the matter, Crixus?
Yeah.
Why so sad?
I was waiting for like Crixus to come back as a ghost. Navy looks off the side. Crixus is standing there next to
Barca.
Yeah,
and everybody.
And then the music starts. Hi, I'm Hayden Christensen. What are you doing here?
That's kind of crazy that they just had his head sitting there because I was waiting for the cloth to burn off. I didn't see his face boil, but luckily they didn't do that.
Yeah.
We got a tasteful send-off.
Yeah, yes. For sure. It was awesome.
And Spartacus announces that they will live free or join their brothers in death. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Next up is...
Victory.
Maybe we get some Obi-Wan Crixus ghost stories, no? Sit next to him on the bench. I got something to tell you.
Do you remember in first episode, The Red Serpent? Do you remember Spartacus' first line?
No.
He says to Glauber, he says, to what end? To what end? And Glauber says, victory. We're about to watch the last episode, which is called Victory.
Nice.
Yes.
Whose victory?
My victory.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.